One of the hardest things to do day to day as a Christian is maintain a solid prayer life. How do you become a praying Christian? In this series of messages, learn how to pray through the Bible and develop and strengthen and enrich your relationship to the Lord through prayer.
Psalm number five. Again, tonight, not really a message, more just teaching. And by the way, Ephesians chapter 4 says that pastors need to be teachers. And so just some teaching tonight. The Bible says, give ear to my word, O Lord, consider my meditation, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Now, we have this obvious understanding. It doesn't take a deep theologian years of study to figure out that David wanted his prayers to be heard. I mean, would you say that's what the text is saying? Like, Lord, answer my prayer. Unto thee will I pray. Hearken to the voice. Or the word hearken just means listen. Listen to the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto thee will I pray. Not trying to exegete the text, just give you the big idea of what's going on. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. God, I'm going to pray to you in the morning. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. One of the things that we ought to do, just by way of edification, is we ought to be a people who pray in the morning. You say, why is that? Well, how many of you have found that the longer you go throughout the day, the more distracted you get? The more challenging it is. I find that throughout the day. Now, I have plenty of things to pray for throughout the day, but they become prayers of immediate need as opposed to prayers of personal crying or personal petition to the Lord. Or I can go the whole day without praying for people. I can go the whole day without praying for power or anything because I get so caught up in the things in the day-to-day life. By the way, you're normal if that happens. That's why we say it's really good to pray in the morning. Early will I seek thee. It doesn't always happen, but as a general rule, it should. And more specifically, that ought to be our desire. Now, some of you have to show up to work really early, like at 9. Only if you're on staff at Canyon Ridge. I'm kidding about that, 8:30. But seriously, some of you have to show up to work really, really early and your day starts. I mean, you have a 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. to 2 a.m. shift. I get that. But can I encourage you to carve out time early in the day to spend time with the Lord? Else things won't get done. You say, well, I don't really enjoy praying in the day, early in the morning. Can I be candid with you? I don't really enjoy working out early in the morning. Matter of fact, I kind of despise working out early in the morning. My best time to work out is noon, right before nap time. That's my best time. Now, some of you are morning people and you enjoy the early morning workouts. I work out a lot in the morning early, but it's not my favorite time of the day to work out. Praying early might not be your favorite time, but if it's your only time, make it that time. Make prayer early, seeking God early. Make that a part of your regular habitual time. And so he says, Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You say, why aren't you being dogmatic about it? Because the scripture's not being dogmatic that we have to pray first thing in the morning. But I do think it's a general rule that we should at least desire that first thing in the morning, our time with the Lord, our private worship, as we like to call it around here. Verse number 4, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercies, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. And he just goes on talking about imprecatory prayers about people who attack him, and that God would hear him and God would listen. I love this psalm. I love the cry of his heart that God would hear his prayer, and I find myself in the same boat. I want to finish our study tonight on this subject of praying, the scripture, and I want to talk about praying different passages. We've been talking for 2 weeks about two sessions about praying the Psalms and why I think it's important to pray the Psalms. There's a couple of reasons. Number one, I like praying the Psalms because they can be easily tracked. In my Bible, I write in my Bible things that are memorable, or even my daily devotional time to keep track of where I'm at in my annual reading. If I'm reading the Bible through once a year, twice a year, four or five times a year, just depends on the plan that I have at the beginning of the year. And I'll keep track with a mark at the front of every chapter. I do that same thing in my devotional Bible with the Psalms, and I just write prayed, and then I write the date next to it. It's really easy. I taught you the format last week about the corresponding day, and then you add 30 to that until you run out of Psalms. And then at the end of the month, if it's a month with 31 days, you pray Psalm 119. You're able to track praying the Psalms really, really easily. And it's tracking, and it's just so powerful to pray different psalms. One of the reasons I would submit to you is because rote prayer can be mind-numbing and frustrating. How many ever spent time in prayer and like you just do it because it's your duty to do so? You know what you're going to pray before you sit down and pray, and then you pray, and then you're kind of like, okay, done, I prayed. It can just get very mind-numbing. It can become, again, the word is rote. It's just what we do. You don't even think about what you're doing. You don't even have to think about what you're saying. And let me be candid with you. If you're not thinking about what you're saying, you're not praying. You might be quoting words. Again, I'm not trying to be unkind towards anyone, but there are no like special powerful prayers. We say all the time that living for Jesus is about a relationship, not religion. Religion quotes prayers. They give you prayers to quote. Do you have any prayers I can read just for power? No. That's not what a Christian relationship with the Lord looks like. It's a genuine heart's cry to the Lord. And if we're not careful, we can become very rote in our prayer life, which is one of the fantastic reasons that I love the book of Psalms. I also like praying the book of Psalms because they transition easily into prayer. You can read it. Let's look at our text tonight, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. I would pray this. God, please listen to the prayer I'm about to pray. And listen to the prayer I'm about to pray, and just whatever comes to mind from that verse, that's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to try to keep it focused, at least ideally, on that verse, but whatever comes to mind, I'm going to pray. Now, the Psalms transition into prayer, I would submit to you, easier than any other section of Scripture. And I would say there's no bad section to pray, no bad books of the Bible to pray, but some are easier than others. I think the Psalms would be the easiest book in the Bible to pray, followed by the wisdom book, the book of Proverbs. That would be easily translated into a prayer time. And then probably the epistles, and then the gospels, which we'll talk about. And then the poetical books, maybe Ecclesiastes, Job would be interesting to pray. It really would be. The history books would be difficult. The Pentateuch would be a little bit challenging, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I mean, how do you pray Numbers, you know, like, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. Lord, help me to begat some. I don't know what you do there. I don't know what you do. Honestly, it would just be really difficult to pray that section of Scripture. So again, I mean, if you're like, I'm going to give it the old college try, go ahead. And if you like, come back to me and give me some feedback on that. If that goes well for you, then praise the Lord for it. But by and large, I think the Pentateuch is probably a little bit more challenging than most. And prophecy, I don't see that waking up early in the morning and, you know, open up the seven sealed judgment of the Revelation. It's going, you know, praise the Lord for the trumpets, or praise the Lord for the seals. But I will say this, that in my private worship time, going through Faith Bible Institute, we're having a great time studying the prophecy and eschatology, the end times. And one of our homework assignments is to read Daniel and the Revelation. So I've been reading through the Revelation really slowly and carefully. and just trying to really absorb things. And I studied the Revelation. I got a passing grade in college and things eschatological. But as I'm going through the Revelation recently, God has burdened my heart with some of the judgments that will be on the earth to pray for the needs of our world and the gospel to be proclaimed and reached in our world. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't pray any of those. Please don't ever think that. Whatever God's burdening your heart for, please do. I'm just saying some are probably easier than others. Again, Psalms is probably easier than Numbers. Proverbs is probably easier than the Revelation, whatever the case may be. But I think it's imperative that we pray the scripture and that we start in maybe the easier places to do so. But with that said, since I spent 2 weeks on Psalms, and if you weren't here, you could go back and listen to those. I want to talk tonight about praying some different passages of Scripture. So I want to talk really, it's not going to be a long service tonight. I want to talk about praying the epistles, and then we'll talk about narrative praying, and we'll talk about praying from memory. So praying the epistles, if Psalms are suited for praying, why would you pray anything else, you might ask? Why would you pray the epistles? And remember, the epistle just means a letter. It starts with Romans, and it ends with Jude in there. There's just a bunch of letters that are written to different people. Paul wrote 13 of them. Peter wrote some. Then there's the book of Hebrews, a general epistle. It's debated who wrote it. Then John wrote epistles, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. And then James wrote an epistle, a general epistle to churches. Jude wrote an epistle. Paul wrote a letter about a guy named Philemon to his friend Onesimus. And so there's a lot of epistles that are written, and any one of them can be prayed. But the question is, why would you do that if Psalms? Well, because of the truth contained in a particular chapter of a book. You might pray 1st Thessalonians because it's just so powerful. Paul's prayers are an encouragement. Even we read about the prayers, and we read the prayers of the Apostle Paul and how he prayed for other people. Let's read some of them. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1. By the way, we don't always put these on the screen on Sunday nights, and we're going to do a little bit less on Sunday morning because I want to make sure you know how to find passages in your Bible. I'm talking to some and watching some people recently, like, hey, find the book of Matthew, and you have to go to the index. Now, if you're a new believer, that's fine, but maybe as a pastor, I need to have you looking up scripture a little bit more regularly, not trying to be a jerk about it, but maybe just a little bit more regularly so that you're in the habit of it. This is Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus. It is a beautiful prayer, and it teaches us really some ways to pray for people. Verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love of unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, here's what Paul is praying for them, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that they'd be wise, that they would know more about the Lord, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that as you read the scripture, as you hear the word preached, that you would grow in understanding, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you look forward to what God is calling you to do and God is encouraging you to do, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that you would look forward to what God has for you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, that we would desire the power of God's word, that we would look forward to the power of his word, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Hey, we want you to have what is called today and throughout other passages of scripture. Paul is saying, I'm praying that you'll have resurrection power in your life. And that's what he's talking about in verses 19 and 20. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. I want you to have more power than all of the satanic forces that are in this world. Let me ask you a question. Do you think we need that in our world today? Do you think our kids need that, especially our kids that attend public schools? Where 1 out of 5 teenagers in America today considers themselves to be transitioning, 1 out of 5. and it's only growing exponentially. I think our kids need power. I think one another needs power. I think parents need wisdom on how to deal with this. I think we need our eyes to be enlightened. Verse number 22, and hath put all things under his feet. The world is at the dominion of Christ and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body of the fullness that fulfilleth all in all. I just simply want us to understand that this is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. We could go over and we could read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through verse number 22. Another prayer of Paul. I won't give much commentary on this. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or I'm praying to God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What do I want him to grant you? Here's what Paul is saying, that you might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How many of you at times find a need or a desire to be strengthened in the inner man? There's times in your and my life where the inner man is weak, the inner man wants to quit, the inner man is going in a direction that if other people knew where you're at, you would be embarrassed. And so Paul is not omniscient. The Holy Spirit is helping him that he would give you the riches of his glory and that you would be strengthened in the inner man, on the inside. This is his prayer. That Christ may, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And Paul is saying, I want Christ to be preeminent in your life. My prayer for you is that Christ would be preeminent or magnificent or in first place in your life. Now, let's be honest just for a second. How many of you have prayed prayers of conformity to a standard you desire for people more than you have that Christ would be preeminent in your life? Lord, please help my kids to not cause me any problems today. If we could just have a day of peace. Matter of fact, Jesus, give them the flu. Let's be honest. Okay, you might have left the last part off, but help them to obey. Help them to do this. Help them to do that. Help this to happen. Help this to happen. And here's what Paul is saying. Jesus, if you'll be first in their... let me rephrase it. Paul is praying that Jesus will be first in their heart and life, because if Jesus is first, everything else comes in place. The preeminence of Christ is of the most preeminent need in the life of the believer. Verse number 21, unto him, unto Christ, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end, amen. We won't take time to read Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And there are major prayers found throughout Scripture. Abraham's prayer, Genesis 18, 23 to 33, a prayer of intercession. Moses' prayer, Exodus 15, 1 to 18, a prayer of praise. Moses' prayer in Exodus 32, 11 to 14, 33, 12 to 17, a prayer of intercession. Moses' prayer, Numbers 11, 10 to 15, a prayer of complaint. I'm really good at that one. Moses' prayer in Numbers 14, 11 to 19, a prayer of pleading. Hannah's prayer, 1 Samuel 2, 1 to 10. Some in the room struggle, maybe some ladies in the room struggle with not being able to have children, wanting to have children, a normal need, a normal desire. I would encourage you to pray Hannah's prayer. Well, I need to study that. Sometimes it's okay to just pray it. I'm not saying don't study, but pray Hannah's prayer. Get to know Hannah's prayer. Meditate on Hannah's prayer. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom and knowledge. There's the prayer of David in 2 Samuel 7, 18 to 29, a prayer of thanksgiving, and 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 20, a prayer of praise, and Solomon's prayer for wisdom in 1 Kings 3, 6 to 9, and his praise in 1 Kings 8, 22 to 53, and 54 to 61. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 14 to 42, it's praise and petition. Hezekiah's prayer of intercession in 2 Kings 19, on and on I could go. The early church's prayer in Acts chapter 4, verses 20 to 30, of praise and petition. Simeon's prayer of praise in Luke chapter 2, verses 29. The early the church triumphant prayer of Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 through 5, verse number 14, a prayer of praise. Just simply saying that the Bible is filled with examples of how to pray. And I think it's a good idea to not just read those, but to pray those prayers. There, if I could say it this way, and I'm totally comfortable saying it this way, those are Holy Spirit-inspired prayer. The Holy Spirit of God inspired the Word. The Holy Spirit of God put them into the Word. They are inspired to teach us. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I would just submit to you that the greatest thing you'll do for your prayer life is to truly learn to pray the Bible. Now, I love praying the Psalms, but there's other passages in the Bible that we should pray. We should pray the epistles. We should pray the prayers of the Bible. If you're struggling in a relationship, if your marriage just needs to get back on track or maybe things are amiss, why not try praying 1 Corinthians 13? Let's jump over there real quick because we'll do it together because some of you are like, I don't know. Okay, I'll help you. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I have the gift of prophecy and understanding. And you just pray whatever you want there. Or we're going somewhere for the sake of time. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Lord, help my spouse to understand how much I love them. Help me to not talk about loving them. Help me to show them that I love them. Help my words not to be empty and worthless, but help them to be real and meaningful. Help me to stop acting like I know all the answers and just show love and joy and affection. Lord, help me not to focus on anything else at this moment in my life but love and charity. Lord, verse number 4, help me to suffer long. Lord, I've been suffering for a long time. And I don't know why I made this decision, Jesus, but help me to suffer even longer. That's not really what it means. Lord, this person makes me suffer. Being married to them is like being in a gulag. Lord, I'm in chains unto death. Jesus, you're a chain breaker, but you can't break this one. That's not what he's saying. Lord, help me to endure. By the way, this is a passage for people in the church. It's for inner church relationships. This is not a marriage passage, just so you know. This is an inner church relationship passage, meaning this is how I need to feel towards other people within the church. Lord, help me to be long-suffering with this person. Help me to suffer long. Lord, help me, verse number 4, help me to be kind. Help me to remember important days and important events. Help me just to be kind. Help me to be kinder, we're talking about marriage. Help me to be kinder to my spouse than I am anyone else. How many of you found it's easier to be rude to your spouse than it is anyone else? Debbie told me that. She told me, you're ruder to me than anyone else. I'm kidding, she's never said that. But it would be true. Help me to be kind. Charity envieth not. God, help me not want the good things that they have. Reward them with blessing and help me to love the blessing that you give them. Help me to find joy in the blessing that you give them. Help me not to puff myself up. Help me not to have to look to be great in their eyes. May I just look to be kind and faithful in their eyes. Lord, if I talk too much and I don't say enough good things, Lord, shut my mouth. Lord, if I don't talk enough and I don't let them know that I love them, open my mouth. But God, help me, whatever it is, help me not to be puffed up. Help me not to put myself in a place of self-motivated authority or prestige. Help me not to behave myself unseemly. You see, we could pray this prayer for hours, couldn't we? And probably if you're honest, you could pray it and then start over and pray it again, because new stuff will come to mind. That's the beauty of praying the word, because now you have the wonderful, perfect word of God helping you to pray in accordance with the will of God, motivated by the Spirit of God, and you'll do this over and over and over and over again. Well, Pastor, help them to suffer along and help them to be kind. Yeah, see, that's the problem. We're praying the word for ourselves. And so we could pray that. D.A. Carson, in his excellent book on the prayers of the Apostle Paul, presents a solution. He says about running out of things to say in prayer. The average person runs out of things to say in about 5 minutes. And D.A. Carson says this: pray over scripture. Christians just sitting out and beginning to pray, they begin to pray for everything that they can, and they look at their watches and they discover that they've been at prayer for 3 or 4 minutes. This experience sometimes generates a feeling of defeat, discouragement, even despair. A great way to begin to overcome this problem is to pray through various Bible passages. I love praying the scripture as well, because you'll pray for things that you've never prayed for in your life. How many of you ever prayed that you'd love well? You might say, oh, Lord, help me to be a good spouse. But how many of us really got specific in how Jesus defines love? And we've prayed for that. I submit to you, just on this one aspect, 1 Corinthians 13 praying will change your marriage. Matter of fact, you pray 1 Corinthians 13, I guarantee you it will change your marriage, and it will change your interpersonal relationships within people in the church and people that you're struggling with. I guarantee it. If it doesn't, I'll give you $5. I mean, what good's my guarantee? It's not like God's going to take it out of the Bible. It's his word. It will change stuff. It will change everything. So we talk about praying the epistles. I want to talk just briefly about narrative praying. Narratives are stories, and why would I talk about that? Well, because so much of the Bible is written in a narrative format. The Gospels are in a narrative format. Most of the Old Testament, especially all the history books, are written in a narrative format. The book of Acts is written in a narrative format. So probably a majority of the scripture is written in a narrative format, telling stories. I don't like the word stories, but given an account. And narrative praying, unlike the Psalms and the epistles praying, and when you pray a psalm and an epistle, you basically pray verse by verse. But narrative praying is praying in a much bigger section of scripture, where you're praying simply the big idea. Turn to John chapter 9. I want to give you an example. John chapter 9. I said this morning, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible is John chapter 9. John chapter 9 in your Bibles. I have a new Bible. I don't know that I've ever looked up John 9 in here. I have a lot of Bibles. John chapter 9. You would pray this differently just because of the style in which it was written, a narrative style. Verse number 1, you'll see it real easily. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, it wouldn't be wrong for you to stop if you know some blind folks and ask God to bless them. If God burns your heart to do that, there's no wrong way. But you're normally gonna preach it or preach. You're gonna pray over the big idea. And verse number 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? that he was born blind. And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. And then Jesus said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You might pray a prayer similar to this. Lord, I prayed this prayer this afternoon in my study about John chapter 9 as I was reviewing this. Lord, help me to see of the need, help me to see the need of the world around me in light of your glory. Who did sin, this man or his parents? Neither of them sinned, neither he or his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. And then I prayed this, Lord, may I think more deeply about the suffering that is going on in the world and not take the simpleton approach to dealing with difficult issues. Give me wisdom when dealing with problems. Why? Because the easy answer to the apostles in that, now I'm a pastor and obviously I've studied this and many of you would know this, but they believed that anybody that was born blind was because of major sin in the kid's life or the parent's life. Or deaf or having a... be having some mental difficulty, they would say all of those things were because of some massive sin that is going on in a person's life. And Jesus says no, that didn't happen at all here, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. And then he says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. You might read that passage and pray this prayer, Lord, give me the strength and the determination to accomplish the work you have for me to do. I know my time is short here. By the way, your time is short on this earth. Today, some of you are in your 20s. Tomorrow, you will be in your 50s. And then you'll be in your 70s. And then you'll be with Jesus. And if you're in your 70s, it'll take you a long time to get there. But you get the idea. Lord, I know my time is short. I want to bring glory to you. Help me to bring glory to you. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. You might pray this prayer this way. Jesus, I know you're the light of the world. I pray that you'll make yourself known to my neighbor Bob this week, because I've been witnessing to Bob, and I'm going to try to share the gospel with Bob again this week. I pray that he'll be home, and I pray that he'll be open to the gospel. All of those would be fair and accurate ways to pray that passage of Scripture. Again, the reason most people don't enjoy praying is because it's saying the same old thing about the same old thing, getting the same old results. This enlivens our prayer life, and in truth, somebody say, well, it sounds really kind of challenging to me. It's way less difficult than sitting down and writing a 47-page prayer list and trying to get through every one of those prayers. Narrative praying. I want to talk finally tonight about praying from Scripture. Scripture memory. Look with me, if you would, Psalm 119. Praying from Scripture memory, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse number 11. The Bible says, thy word have I hid, in Psalm 119, 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God, I put your word in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. He says, verse number 9, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Pastor, I'm tired of the same insecurities. Pastor, I'm tired of the same struggle. I'm tired of doing the same undisciplined thing in my life. Pastor, this is old, irritating, and I'm tired of it. What should I do? According to the Scripture, memorize the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. If you'll memorize the Word of God, it will change you. The Word of God changes you. The Bible says this in the armament passage in the book of Ephesians, to put on the whole armor of God, and then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And almost every description is you see the Spirit the armored man with a sword ready to attack the enemy. And I don't think that's a bad description, but it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's not my sword, and it's the sword of the Spirit that is, I would argue, according to John chapter 14, where the Spirit teaches us all things and bring all things to our remembrance, that it's the Spirit of God who confronts us with our sin, who confronts us with our need, who confronts us with, or who gives us comfort, who gives us grace, who gives us wisdom, who gives us encouragement, whatever it is we need, it's the Spirit of God who does that, and he is empowered, I don't like that word, but he is made more aggressive, if you will, by the word of God that is inside of the individual. The more you put in of the scripture, the more wisdom, grace, correction, and guidance you're going to get out of your walk with Jesus. Memorizing scripture changes everything. People say, well, you know, it's hard. Well, you know, it is, it's not really hard, it just takes time. It just takes some time. I was on a ride-along Wednesday night, and man, those officers, they know laws that I didn't know were on the books. And they know, Danon would know this because he's, you know, firefighter, and they all have this special language of numbers and acronyms, and they're like, oh, that's an, you know, that's a 415, which means disturbing the peace. That's a 415, but that's a 415-2JY79er. Really? What does that mean? Oh, that's disturbing the peace with Lucky Charms. That's a law. I didn't even know. Really? That's a law. Oh, that's a 211. 211. For a while, I was just grabbing my phone and looking up on Google. 211, SDPD. And it's like, oh, 211 is, I think it's a robbery or something like that. Now I'm just like, what does that mean? And they'll just tell me like, oh, chaps, you need prayer. But here's my point, they give themselves to learning those things, and they learn them, and it doesn't matter the age. The officer I rode with on Wednesday night was 60 years old. 2 weeks ago, the officer that I rode with was 22 years old. And they all know them because they have to work to learn them. They're incentivized to learn them. Our incentive in learning scripture is the empowerment that we have from the Holy Spirit, the usage that the Holy Spirit will get out of us memorizing scripture. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Colossians 3:16. The Bible says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let them dwell. Let the words of Christ dwell in you, reside in you, live in you, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So let the words of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly or overflowing. Have so much of the Bible in you that it overflows, and not in a weird, awkward, oppressive, nerdy kind of way, but just let it overflow. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You know, the more the Bible that you know, the more you're going to get out of the song service in a local church. You really are. If you know the Bible, hey, listen, there's some groups out there like Bethel that our church takes a strong stand against. They sing cultic, ungodly music that no Christian should have in their life. And it doesn't take a well-informed believer very long to figure that out. And singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let it dwell in you. And you're singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So there's a command in scripture that the word of Christ would dwell in you. And praying the word means reading or reciting scripture in a spirit of prayer, said one commentator, and letting the meaning of the verses become our prayer and inspire our thoughts. means reading or reciting scripture in a spirit of prayer and letting the meaning of the verse become our prayer and inspire our thoughts. No prayers are more accurately, said another commentator or another author, no prayers are more accurately reflecting the will of God than those which use the language of God himself and put that into our mouth. No request is more sure to be granted than that which expresses what God himself has promised to fulfill. No petition is more sure to be answered than that which pleads for what God has already commanded. When you memorize scripture, let the word fill your prayer. Memorize scripture and pray the scripture that you memorize. It keeps us focused on the Lord. It protects our minds from easily wandering. It allows us to stay and pray within the will of God. And it prevents our prayers from being sloppy. It prevents our prayers from being sloppy. And it allows you to have meaningful prayer any time of day. Meaningful prayer any time of day. Oh, I got to go get my prayer list. No, it's already here. It's all, you could be in the middle of anything, middle of flying a plane, and you're just praying. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Which is what I would pray if I was, is what everyone would pray if I was flying a plane. Well, you know, Lord, we're about to meet you. We're closer now. Take us home so we don't blame the pastor on the death of all of these innocent people. But whatever, driving down the road, the problems of life, you've memorized scripture, and it becomes the initiator of our prayer life. I've prayed this prayer in my life hundreds of times, driving down the road and something happens and a temptation comes to mind. Let's say it's a temptation of a sexual temptation, and Job's admonition in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? God, give me the grace not to look. Give me the grace not to think. And then I'll go to Proverbs chapter 6 and Proverbs chapter 7 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. I mean, we're tempted, but the Holy Spirit brings that to mind, and that immediately becomes a prayer. And by the way, that should be a prayer that we pray to ourselves when we're quoting the Word of God, and we should quote the Word of God when we pray publicly. We're joking around before service. Are we having corporate prayer tonight? No. Why? Because I don't want anybody to feel embarrassed if I say something from their prayer time. It's really not my desire. But I would love to see the corporate prayer of Canyon Ridge to become filled with the Word of God. And please don't go, oh yeah, man, that's what we do. We don't do that. Nobody in here does that other than maybe me, and I'm not batting myself on the back. I just think that's the way that Christians should pray, or at least heretofore not done. Well, I feel weird quoting the Bible to God. Why do you feel weird quoting God to God? I like it when people say, hey, Chris said. I like it when Judith and Natalie say in a not negative tone, which is very rare. Hey, Dad said. Oh, Dad said something really smart the other day. I remember the day they said that. The one day they said that. Made me feel really good. Why do you think God doesn't like hearing his word recited? They're his promises. It's his inspired word. Let's pray that back to the Lord just in our public times of prayer. So you have to memorize scripture. As we pray about reaching a lost and dying world, it would be something like this. Lord, you've commanded us in your word to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to teach them about you. And Father, your word says in Matthew 28, verse number 19, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As we enter into this week of proclaim, I pray that we'll have opportunities and boldness to clearly preach your word to people that we come across. I pray that our flyers will preach your word. I pray that we'll be diligent to hand out any kind of gospel literature that we can. Lord, please help us to impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or a prayer like this: Father, I pray that we'll have a spirit of giving in our church. Your word says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Lord, I pray that we'll have a spirit to radically give at Canyon Ridge Baptist Church. Your word says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, to trust in you with all our heart and lean not in our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. Father, I pray that we'll trust in you and we'll allow you to guide our path and you to guide our heart and you to guide our life. It takes away you trying to have to tell everyone in the world your thimble of wisdom. And mine. We've all got a thimble of wisdom. God's got an unlimited supply. And praying the scripture draws off the unlimited supply of God's word. That's one of the great benefits of praying. Let me conclude with this. There's almost no wrong way to pray. I say that because there is some wrong ways to pray. But there's almost no wrong way to pray. And I'm talking about style, and I'm talking about format, not what you're praying or your spirit in prayer. But there are better ways to pray. And I just believe, and again, if you disagree, we could talk about it just for fun, but there's no concern in my heart about it. But I believe the best way to pray the scriptures from the Psalms and then from the epistles, the Gospels. And then really, I can't encourage you enough to memorize the Word of God and to begin to pray the Word of God. Now, those of you that are younger, let me speak to you for a minute. Your brain is malleable. It's like pudding. I'm sure that scientists would tell me it's not like pudding, but I've talked to some of you, and it's like pudding. Now, I'm teasing, obviously. But it's easier for you to memorize when you're younger than when you're older. The brain of some of us older folks, and especially some of these older folks, are crusty. It's not like pudding at all. You know when you leave like sourdough bread out for like a year? Literally, I'm being funny. I'm trying to be funny, but there is some seriousness to it. It is much harder the older you get to memorize. Let God deal thoroughly with you in scripture memory as a young person. I've had the privilege in my life to memorize thousands of verses of the Bible, and I'm working on scripture memory all the time. But it's a constant review. It's a constant attention. You say it's a struggle. It's not a struggle at all. I'm memorizing the Word of God. It's not a struggle. I'm obeying the Scripture. I'm hiding God's Word in my heart. I've got an app on my phone with verses from the Bible, but I prefer the old-fashioned method of the saints of a bygone era, 3x5 cards. That's my preferred method. And so I have 3x5 cards in my study at home, and I have all kinds of them, and I just review them, and then I have new ones that I memorize, and I'm reminded of verses, and I add them to the list over and over and over again. I love 3x5 cards. You might be an app person. I mean, I understand that millennials and younger people, that you don't even know what paper is. I feel sorry for you. But you don't even know what paper is, hardly. I love to write it out. I love the feeling of watching ink go on paper. It just excites me. I love the colors of ink that I have. Like, I wake up in the morning thinking about, I wonder what color ink I'll use today. Now, you might not be cool like that, but I still, that excites me, and that helps me to remember things. And we're just working at memory. But memorize while you're young. And then old folks, that's not a reason for you not to memorize. They might memorize 5 to 1, but you have a responsibility to hide God's word in your heart. That command is for all of us. And then what is in us should regularly come out in times of prayer, in times of petition, in times of need. Pray the scripture.
Thank you for listening. Find more messages every week at canyonridgebaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, join us for a service. We meet at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 p.m.